I want to thank the church so much for your prayers, the cards that we received that over the last few weeks. Me and my wife just we looked at those and read them, and just thank God for you thinking about us and praying for us. And I tell you, I believe it makes a huge difference when God's people pray for one another. It's not just the preacher coming and bringing a message, but it's the prayers of the people also that brings the presence of God into a place. And folks, without the presence of God here this morning, we have nothing. We have nothing. We're just having a meeting here without the presence of God. But when God comes on the scene, everything changes. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Thankful for that. I'm thankful for this church. Thankful for your pastor and what he means to me and my family. And he has been such a help to me over the years, and been a help to our church, and I'm thankful for his ministry and how God has used him throughout his life and continues to use him today. And I'm looking forward to spending eternity with these folks. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to be a great time to be with God and to be with his people. Thankful for my wife. I'm thankful that she has such a servant's heart, and she's here with me today, and for her support. And a lot of times I forget that, Brother Mike, but God reminds me how thankful I should be for all he's blessed me with. So hope you've been in prayer for this part of the service this morning, that God would just speak to our hearts. And I know this, God's got a message, and his word won't return void, it says. I believe that, and I'm believing him to do a work in this place, and I hope that you're receptive this morning. I want to go to the book of 2 Corinthians. In chapter 5, and look into the Word of God here this morning, as the Apostle Paul was inspired by God to write this scripture down, and I'm so glad that this Word is preserved for us. There's life in the Word of God. Amen. We're not here to conjure up something new today. All we've got to go do is look back in what the Word of God says, and there's brand new life in that today, every day. Every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll start reading in verse 10, if you will. Look with us. And Paul says to the Corinthian church, you can stand, if you will, for the reading of God's word. Paul says in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Thank you for standing this morning. I want to preach to you on this thought that God has put in our hearts today to try to deliver to you. I want to preach on this ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. The word reconciliation, I looked this up, and I want to share some things with you about the word reconciliation. It's the reconciliation of men to God by his grace and love in Christ. It means a new relationship Godward that has been offered to the Gentiles. The ministry of reconciliation is beseeching men to be reconciled to God on the ground of what God has wrought in Christ. It means, it denotes to change from enmity to friendship. Amen. Do you remember the change that happened, you that have been born again, when God came into your life and you weren't in enmity to God, you were in a friendship relationship to God. God did that for us through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. Amen? But I want you to notice some things here that Paul says to the Corinthian church when he's talking about how we are reconciled to God and how we have also been given a ministry of reconciliation. How many of you ever heard? I've heard this many times throughout my Christian life. I just wish I knew what God wanted me to do. I would do anything if God would just show me. And I used to be one of those that prayed, God, just show me what to do. And then God showed me what to do, and I didn't want to do that, Mike. I didn't want to preach the gospel, and I ran from that. And I'm so thankful that God has called me into the ministry of preaching the gospel, because sometimes I wonder where I would be if he had not done that and if I had not answered that call. But the Bible says, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But listen to today, church. Paul is not just speaking to the pastor of the Corinthian church. Paul is speaking to the church themselves when he says, God has given you the ministry of reconciliation. He has called you to do something today, and that's to reach the lost of this world. We've got drug addicts out there. We've got alcoholics out there. We've got people that think that they're going to get there by their own good works. And God has called you and I today to reach out to them and tell them about the love and the mercy and the grace of God that calls people to repentance today. Amen. He said, we shall all appear before the judgment seat, and we will receive the things done in this body. Verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. The word terror here means the fear of God. The reverential fear of God. Knowing how big and how powerful that God is. We are no match for God, friend. Knowing how great and how wonderful God is, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. I asked a congregation not too long ago how many had ever led someone to Christ. And I was amazed by how few people that have ever actually led somebody to Christ. You may be one of those today that says, you know, I don't know that much scripture, and I'm just not that smart in the Bible, and I've got a lot to learn myself. But I'm going to tell you something. God can use a little child. He can use a little child. He's not going on your qualifications today. I heard somebody say this long time ago, and I believe this morning. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And there's a lot of truth in that today. We're not here to impress people with our knowledge and how good we are. We're here today to point people to Jesus Christ and how good he is, and that the blood still has the power today to change lives. Glory to God. And that's all we've got to know. We persuade men. We persuade men. And he says in verse 15, he died for all. He didn't die for some. Amen. He died for all. He died for the people you can't get along with. Amen. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We ought to be living like he's living. Hey man, we can't live dead like we're serving a dead God. We got to live alive like we're serving a living God. Amen. He rose again. Henceforth, know we no man, verse 16. Henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. You're not just Brother Mike. You're Brother Mike. You're not just friends of mine today. You are a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. The people that we meet at Walmart or the grocery store or on our daily jobs or wherever, they're not just somebody. That's a soul there that we have a responsibility to reach for God. It goes on here in this chapter when it talks about he hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. And it says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. How many knows that God was in Christ? Amen. Somebody, I believe Brother Clark said it last night that he was, or maybe Brother Mike, that he was fully man and he was fully God. That Emmanuel, God with us. He reconciled the world unto himself and he committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, and we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Paul is begging these people to get where God wants them to be. That's the reason I said this here a while back. I was preaching in a service, and God just prompted me to say this. You know, the world thinks, well, y'all go to church every Sunday. Y'all go to church every Wednesday night, and you just think you got it all together because you go to church. I said, no, we go to church because we know we don't. We know we ain't got this thing won yet, and there's still a race to be run, and we have to be reminded how to act and how to conduct ourselves as Christians. For he hath made him to be sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. I don't know about you, friend, but the only righteousness I've got is his. Yes. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. I'm thankful that there's still power to change lives. Amen. Romans 5:10 says, For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I'm not who I used to be. Aren't you thankful? Amen. That we're not who we used to be. Paul goes on, and I want to look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm telling you what, if you read everything that Paul said to Corinthian church, what a man of God he was. What a powerhouse. And he's speaking to this church, and he says in verse 4, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and he was seen of Cephas. And after that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once. And after that, he was seen of James. And last of all, aren't you glad you've seen him? Hey man, when he rose and the disciples saw him, Cephas and James and the 500 brethren at once. But I'm thankful that wasn't the all that God ever appeared to. Christ has appeared to me and to you. And last of all, he was seen of me also. As one born out of due time. Well, how in the world did Paul see him? Christ had already been buried, resurrected, and ascended back to heaven. And it was later on in the book of Acts, when Paul was walking down that road to Damascus, that voice came from heaven, and the light shined down. And here he said to him, he said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Paul said, Lord, aren't you glad that he appeared to you? as one born. He still speaks, folks. He still speaks to us today. And then he said, I am the least. I was born out of due time, and he appeared unto me, and I am the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle. If Paul, being the man of God he is, that suffered 39 stripes, imprisoned, and could still sing and pray at midnight and see the jail cell come open and the earthquake, who could stand before King Agrippa and Felix and preached the gospel while he was imprisoned. And Felix was trembling. And he said, much learning doth make thee mad. And Paul said, no, it's not my Bible reading that's made me mad. It's the Spirit of God. I'm not mad. I'm passionate. Amen. King Agrippa said, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And boy, I'm telling you what, a lot of us right there have a victory party. Man, we almost had church. I mean, somebody almost got saved. Somebody almost shouted. Somebody almost raised their hand. And somebody almost said amen for the first time. And we think we've had a good church service. But Paul said, I would that you were not almost, but you were altogether such as I am. Glory to God, he wasn't trying to tell him to do something he didn't have. We can't convince people to do something that we don't have. But he said, I am the least of the apostles. I'm telling you what, when a man like that says, I'm the least, I don't know where that puts Brother West, but it's a long way down the totem pole. Wow. But God can even use me. That's amazing. That's amazing. I am the least. And then he goes on in the next verse and he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Thank you, Lord, that by your grace, this old piece of clay, I am what I am because of the grace. And he says, that grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. Listen, the grace that God has given you, it's up to you and I for that grace not to be bestowed upon us in vain. Amen. Amen. It's up to you to do something with that grace that God has given you. And he said, freely you have received, freely give. Freely give. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Paul said, I don't care who does the preaching, this long as you get it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I thank God I got saved one day, but I don't give the preacher credit for saving me. I'm telling you what, I don't give the singers credit for saving me. I've been in some wonderful services. I remember growing up as a child, and I wouldn't take anything for this. I'm telling you what, the Spirit of God was moving in that little church, that little Free Will Baptist church up there at Red Oak on the hill in the country. Most people have no idea where it's at. I know y'all got a Red Oak. It's the other way. But we were having a move of God, and people were getting saved, and it wasn't good enough in church. So we didn't have enough time in church. So about every Saturday night, somebody'd say, let's get together at my house, and we'd have church at their house, and there'd be people come to that house that wouldn't come to church, and they got saved in those houses, and they come to church the next time. Amen. And that went on and on and on, and that's the plan of God for his people today, folks. I remember a time that a man from Alabama called me. And he said, someone gave me your number, and he said, I think, this is how he put it, he said, I think I may want you to come preach in a revival. He said, but first I would like to ask you some questions. And I thought, I said, certainly.
I said, you ask me anything you want to ask me. I completely understand that. And I'll be just as honest with you as I know how. He said, first of all, when you come to a church, what do you expect? I thought, boy, he's starting off easy. I said, I don't expect anything, brother, except a move of God. I didn't get past the first question. He said, that's what I was afraid of. Lord, I done blowed up here. He said, a move of God, that's a thing of the past. Yeah. He said, we have to live by faith, brother. And he said, a move of God, that don't happen anymore. I said, well, friend, I can't tell you whether you need me to come preach in your revival or not, but I'm not coming unless I expect a move of God. I said, because it took a move of God to get this old boy saved. It took the Spirit of God moving and drawing me to come to Him. And I'm telling you today, I serve the same Jesus that's never changed today. He's not changed. How do we reach people? We let God move. We let God move in our lives. I remember a time that we had a little old gospel group and they were having a little festival at this city park and had a little pavilion there, and they said, y'all bring your music and come sing a little bit for us out here at the city park. And there was kids out there playing. They had concession stands and everything was going good, and we started singing, and I'm telling you what, those songs have got to stir in people's hearts, and people got out to started worshiping God in that little pavilion. First thing you know, in that city park, there was people bowing down and receiving Christ at a festival at a city park. Somebody come running in there and said, hey, this guy here at the hot dog stand wants to be saved. Somebody come pray with him. My God, that's all we got to do is just let the Spirit of God move in our midst, folks. He'll do the work. He'll do the work. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers. I'll make you fishers of men. We can sit and gripe and whine about how the world, what kind of shape it's in, and how so many left the church back in 2020. They didn't nobody leave the church unless they wanted to. Amen. Say, man, I want them to get back. When they realize they backslid, they'll get back. I've never seen anybody repent till they knew they sinned. Word of God tells me, forsaking not the assembling. That means a gathering. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst. There's power in God's people coming together and believing and letting Him be God. Mark chapter 2, I'm talking about early, the very earliest part of the ministry of Christ on this earth. The Bible says He came to Capernaum. And after He was there for some days, I don't know how many days, but He had been in Capernaum, the Bible says, for some days. How long has He been in your life? After He was there for some days, it was noised that He was in the house. Wow. You know, we don't need to be able to go out here telling people how good our church is. We need to tell people how good our God is. And that we met with Him in our church. You ought to come see a man. We ought to noise that thing. It was noise that He was in the house. And the Bible says straightway many were gathered. All you got to do is brag on Jesus. And let people see how much you love Him. Listen, before I believed, before I really become a true believer, I knew some people. I didn't know if I believed what they believed, but I knew they believed it. Amen? People need to know you believe what you believe.
They were many gathered together, and there was not enough room to receive them. And the Bible says he preached the word unto them. But I'm telling you what, Brother Wes will sit down and let Jesus preach anytime. Jesus preached the word unto them. And they, don't even mention their names. But the Bible says there was four people that found a man laying out there that couldn't get to Christ by himself. He needed some help. And they came carrying him to this place where Christ was preaching. They couldn't get in because of the press. They couldn't get him close to Jesus. Here's where a lot of us stop. Well, maybe he can hear him out here. Let's just open the window and maybe hear him. But I'm going to tell you what, they knew that there was power. The closer we can get somebody to Christ, that there's power in that. We don't just need to bring them outside. We need to bring them where Jesus is. Amen. And they climbed up on the roof and they carried this man with the bed. And the Bible said they took off the roof. And listen to this. And they, when they had broken it up, anything that's in the way, get it out. Anything that's hindering you from, listen, maybe it's your pride, or maybe you just don't have the confidence you need, or maybe you just need to, you need to get closer yourself. Whatever it is, get that stuff broken up where you can get somebody else to Christ today. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed. The Bible said when Jesus saw their faith, he looks at this man that's sick of the palsy and he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." He came to seek and save. Can he heal? Absolutely. But he came to seek and save. That man could have got up and run away. Christ could have healed him physically and not saved his soul, and he would have went to hell like that. But he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Amen. Boy, I'm telling you what, that made the church mad. We want to see healing. We want to see something with these eyes. We're not, who do you think you are? Only God can forgive sins. And Christ says to them, "Why reason you these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or 'Arise, take up your bed and walk,' but that you may know that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Oh, I'm telling you what, if you don't know that today, I want to bring you to a place that you're close enough to God that you realize this man's got the power to forgive everything I've ever done. That you may know that I've got power to forgive sins. I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. How many's ever seen a miracle? God didn't have to show us that. If you've ever witnessed a physical miracle, God didn't have to, he didn't owe that to me. But he showed that to you for one reason. He has all power. All power. Even to forgive sin. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they begin to say, Jesus goes out from there and he goes and he sits down with the publicans and the sinners. The people that the religious people don't want anything to do with. And it's sad to say, but a lot of our church world's right there right now. We don't want anything to do. If they don't dress right, if they don't look right, if they don't smell right, if they don't talk right, that's not who we want in our church. That's who Christ wants. That's who he wants. He went and sat down with those publicans and sinners and the Pharisees and scribes. They said, "Well, this man goes and sits down with these dirty people. Why would he do that?" And Jesus heard it. And he said, "They that are whole have no need of the physician." I've never went to the doctor when I wasn't sick. I'm not going just to go. If I go, I'm sick. They that are whole need not a physician. But they that are sick. Are you sick this morning? Are you sick of just going to church and not being a church? I'm not saying that to Oak Lane. I think y'all got a wonderful church. But I'm telling you what, there's people today that they just go to church and that's all the Christianity they've got. That's all. They that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I'm so thankful. As the writer of Amazing Grace says, that he saved a wretch like me. My God. I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle or a preacher or anything else. No titles am I worthy of. But he gave me the ministry of reconciliation. That means to call you to come to him. He gave you the ministry of reconciliation to call others to come to him. Friend, I encourage you this morning. Don't just, you pray for your pastor, but you do more than that. You get out here in the highways and the byways. You shake hands. And you don't have to go say, let me tell you, let me quote all the scripture I know. You say, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Let me tell you where I was going and where I am going. Let me tell you what he brought me out of that I couldn't get myself out of. Let me tell you the peace and the joy and the love that's in me only because of Christ. And people want that, folks. They're looking for that in everything they can look for it in, and they can't find it. And it's up to you and I to go tell them where they can find it. Drop your water pot this morning and come see a man that knew everything about me and loves me anyway. Stand with me, will you? We can get the piano player to come. Father, as we stand in your presence, I ask you, dear Lord, look down upon every heart and every mind in this place today. I pray, God, that I have delivered your word the way you would have me to. Thank you, God, for your anointing. Thank you that your word is true. I ask you, Father, to speak to our hearts this morning. God, as we hear you drawing us to this altar this morning, I pray, Father, that there would be those this morning that say, yes, you're speaking to me, God. That message was for me, God. And I'm going to obey. Church, this morning, I pray that if there's distance between you and God for any reason, whether you've never had a relationship with him or whether you've drifted away from him, that this morning you'd be reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood of the cross of Calvary, that you would come to Christ today. I don't come to you, as Paul said, with excellent words of men's wisdom, but all we need is the power of God this morning. That's all it takes to draw you. I'm not here to beg you to do something you don't want to do. I'm here to tell you that Jesus is waiting for you to come to him. Be reconciled to him. Have that right relationship with him that you need so desperately. And I ask you this morning, if there's some here today that you've just grown to a place in your life where you're just satisfied by going to church, but you're not really being a vessel that God works through to reach people, to bring them to Christ, I pray today that you would say, Lord, I know that I need to do more. I know that you can use even me to reach somebody for you. And Father, I'm a willing vessel. You just take me. and you show me what to do, and I'll do it. If that's you this morning, would you come? I want to be a servant. I want to have a servant's heart. I want to have the mind of Christ. He came to seek and to save. I want that mission in my life.